Well, good evening. Good to have you here tonight. Welcome. This is class number one in our new module on ministry workshop. I'm titling this Gifts, Ministries, and Effects. I'm going to see how far we're going to go with it this month and next, maybe longer, but we'll see. I'm going to try to direct each one of us prayerfully towards pursuing the will of God in pursuing our giftedness, in pursuing our ministries, and the applications there. I'm concerned. I'll be honest, I'm concerned. I don't know what the Lord's doing. I don't know if he's closing our doors, if he's keeping them open. You know, we've had two ordinations. We've got another ordination on the way. And I don't want to measure the training ministry based on just the pastor teachers alone, because I know we have evangelists and we have exhorters. We have helpers. We have givers. We have other gifts that are being trained. And we have other ministries that are being pursued. And so I'm asking for the congregation to join me in prayer and to consider these aspects and the direction of the training ministry. There's a man that's in Indiana considering moving to Texas to plug into the ministry. I would hate for him to move all the way down here and find that we're not a training ministry anymore. So we want to stay in prayer and we want to stay humble before the Lord. I don't want to be my humanity is overwhelmingly pessimistic by nature, so I want to make sure that I'm in the fellowship and I'm following his leading, and that I'm not just closing a door based on my own pessimism. I want to make sure that he's the one that's closing a door no man can keep open. But if he's opening the doors that no man can shut, I don't want to be in defiance of Jesus Christ in that application. So let me start with a word of prayer, and then we'll plunge into our topic here tonight. Father, we come before you tonight, thankful for your truth, and eager, Father, to return back to realms of study that have been on hold for a while. Father, since the last time we did systematic theology, or we did grace notes, or we did some of the more academic ministry-oriented classes, we've been on a bit of a hiatus, Father, through the summer, and even the spring and the summer. But Father, if it's your will, we're going to get this class up and running again, and your students will attend, and we want to thank you for that. So Father, open the eyes of our understanding, bless us in the truth of your word tonight. I thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be unaware. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 12, and you can turn there if you'd like, or you can look at the screen. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be unaware. And when we pursue our gifts, our ministries, and our effects, we need to recognize that this is what it means to be engaged in our Christian walk. This is for every believer. This is not just for, you know, the minister is the one who's in ministry, and he ministers to us. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It is a participatory thing, right? We are all on the playing field. We are all engaged, or we're supposed to be. Those who are not engaged are either not disciples to begin with, or they're defective in their discipleship, because the discipleship ought to bring them to the point where they are seeking the will of God in their giftedness, in their ministries, and in their effects. And we'll show you what these things are about right here from verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. And that's not what we're about. We're not paganism. We're not led astray on a whim. I make known to you that we'll get past this. Speaking by the Lord God says Jesus is accursed, and that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. All right, we get to verses 4, 5, and 6 now. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of ministries and the same Lord, varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. All right, so raise your hand if you're a person. Okay, that's all of us. Who doesn't have their hand raised? All right, that's all of us. Every single one of us has a gift, at least one, maybe more. Every single one of us ought to be pursuing ministry of some type, at least one, maybe more, and effects. If the Father is not achieving effects in you, that's a problem. Because the Scripture says it is God who's at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And if He is working as far as what He wills, and if He is doing as far as what He's doing, and we're not aware of it, we better get aware of it so we can be volitional participants in that work that the Father is doing. We're going to talk about this. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And in what I enjoy, I think, most about this class, the late night hour on Sunday nights, what I enjoy about Wednesday mornings when we meet at 9 o'clock, the ladies are praying and we meet in the classroom over there, and we have a sit down session, very informal, but very intimate, very special. All right. What I enjoy about brothers and sisters that have any interest in ministry is having that interest is you've already had the victory. You've already won. The fact that you want to serve, that you're volitionally on board, that you say, "Here I am, send me," that you have a desire, a willingness. You've reached a point. I think it was for Jesus, it was age 12. He was in the temple and he had that conviction. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." All right. And for believers, you reach a point and you say, "You know what? I should be doing something in my walk. I should be serving. I should be doing something. I must be about my Father's business." That it's not simply, I'm no longer content to be a sponge just absorbing teaching. All right. I'm not saying the teaching is bad, but it's more than teaching. It's more than just sitting. It's more than just learning. If you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're deluding yourself. Okay. The book of James makes it very clear. I want to be hearing. I want to be doing. Well, what should I be doing? What should I be doing? I'm glad you asked. All right. Because you're here tonight, we're going to get all the answers tonight. No, I'm teasing. We're not going to get all the answers tonight. But these are the kind of classes, these are the kind of pursuits whereby if you want to know the will of God, if you're willing to do the will of God, you are going to know. The teaching is going to resonate. It's going to be clear. All right? And it's going to be clear as anything in these kind of classes. I'm glad you're here. Or if you're not here, you're listening on the website. Okay? As the case may be, because I know we have people listening on the website. This is a subject that's very near and dear to them. So there are varieties of gifts but the same Spirit. Now the varieties, let me just highlight these things. We've had it before. And by the way, what I'm teaching tonight, we're going to have again in, I don't know, a few weeks shortly, because it's one of the divisions of basic doctrinal study. So we're going to come back to this same topic at a 6 o'clock hour in the near future. So don't be shocked if there's a lot of redundancy involved. I don't mind redundancy. Redundancy is good. But since it's 7:30 instead of 6 o'clock, I'll turn the Greek back on. And we can look at it, okay? Because the varieties are actually the distributions. We're going to talk about gifts. We're going to talk about ministries. We're going to talk about effects. And we better know what each one is. We don't want to be confused between a gift and a ministry. We don't want to be confused between a ministry and an effect. And a lot of times, the effects are the biggest problems because we don't see the effects right away. And we think there aren't any effects when the effects are eternal and the effects are not as apparent to us as some other aspects might be. All right, gifts, ministries, effects. That's the Trinity. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. And you ought to be able to walk anybody through this. That's why I love including this in basics. You can see in the gifts in verse 4, the ministries in verse 5, the effects in verse 6. And you can say that each one has a variety. Each one has a diuresis, a distribution, a variety, all right? But it's the same Spirit. God the Holy Spirit who empowers my gift is God the Holy Spirit who empowers your gift. Is God the Holy Spirit who empowers everybody's gift, okay? And the same Lord. That leads my ministry is the same Lord that leads your ministry is the same Lord that leads everybody's ministry. If the Lord's not leading it, it's not a ministry. You might call it a ministry, all right? Microphone here.
I just wanted a quick clarification. When you say the Greek word is distribution, that's a purposeful distribution, right?
Yes.
So the varieties is kind of misleading in a way.
Varieties may not be the best rendering in English based upon how we use the term variety.
So in the Greek, it's everyone gets the one they're supposed to have. And
it's distributions, yes. Yeah. It's distributions, yes. Thank you. Because the varieties of pastors, I had lunch with six pastors on Saturday. We call it the six-pastor lunch. And all six of us, we couldn't be more different than you would imagine as far as us, you know, being people and who we are and that. We all have the pastor-teacher gift. It's the same pastor-teacher gift. But where the variety comes in is the fact that as it's distributed to different kinds of people, okay? And so the distributions are, yeah, the diaresis is the Greek right here. The diaresis is the distributions, all right? And in fact, the verb comes up in verse 7. Each one is given to us the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, and the distributions that come up. All right, I thought it was in verse 7. I could be wrong on that. We'll spot it as we get to it, okay? So the distributions. And we don't pick them out, by the way. When I got saved, I didn't raise my hand and say, excuse me, now that I'm a believer, I'd like to have the pastor-teacher gift, please, okay? The fact is, you get the gift you're given at the moment of salvation, that everyone receives the gift. And the only event that we all have in common is the commonality of our conversion experience. The fact that each one receives a gift. Well, when is that? If it's not salvation, if it's a post-salvation event, then you can't say it's universal because some believers haven't arrived there yet. All right. But the fact that it is universal means that we've all had the same experience. And for us, the only shared common experience that everybody has is that moment of salvation. So it's a logical conclusion that you're provided your spiritual gift at the moment of salvation. So I was a pastor at the age of 4. All right. I didn't know I was a 4-year-old pastor. Okay. But I was a 4-year-old pastor because I was a 4-year-old believer. Then that's the nature of a gift. It's a grace thing. It's given on grace. And God distributes just as He wills. Just as He wills. And so in verse 8, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith. And we have these lists, but it's distributing. There it is, verse 11. This one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. The distribution is the Holy Spirit provides your giftedness. The Holy Spirit provides, and I believe He does so in the will of the Father, but He provides that distribution as a part of the grace package we receive when we trust in Christ. So if you think back to whenever that was, that you were led to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and whoever it was or whatever device was used, sometimes it wasn't a living person, maybe it was a book or a radio program or something, but whatever that moment was when you trusted Christ and received eternal life, at that moment, God the Holy Spirit gifted you with a spiritual gift, all right? At least one. At least one. And I believe you may have more than one, but there's at least one that any believer will have. So distributing to each one individually just as He wills. And so distributing to each one just as He wills. So that comes back again to these distributions, to these varieties in verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. All right. A gift is a grace thing. It's a Spirit thing. Varieties of gifts, but one Spirit. And so in terms of gifts, all right, can you name some spiritual gifts? Give me, what's a spiritual gift? Prophecy is a spiritual gift. Is it a permanent or a temporary spiritual gift? Are there still prophets today? All right. The gift of prophecy was a spiritual gift in the foundation of the church, correct. Okay, it's one of the 9. I break down 20 in terms of 9 and 11. 9 that no longer operate and 11 that do. Gift of tongues, was that temporary or permanent? Temporary, that's right. Exhorter, excellent gift. You know something about that gift. All right, the paraklesis gift, is that a temporary gift or a permanent gift? Permanent gift, still exists to this day. Okay, that's 3 of them, 17 more to go. Evangelist, you know anything about the evangelist? Is that a temporary gift or a permanent gift? You mean there's evangelists in the world today? You know any? Okay. Well, that's good. And there's 20 of them all together. We've got some of them already. 9 of them were temporary. They were designed. They were foundational gifts. Apostle, prophet. They were foundational gifts. Miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing. Those were all temporary gifts that were designed as foundational gifts for the foundation of the church. But you don't keep building a foundation forever, do you? Eventually, you got to stop building the foundation and put the structure on that foundation. And so the permanent gifts are for the structure. The foundation was for the foundation. Hopefully, we're clear on that. Now, like I say, we had six pastors that they went to lunch yesterday from all over Texas, and we gathered in a central location. But each of us is different, all right? And our giftedness is put in different places. Consider how all six pastors have the same gift, but they have different ministries, okay? And so we got varieties between the gifts and the ministries. Not every pastor, for example, is entrusted with the pulpit ministry of a local church. That's a particular ministry. Maybe it's the first one we think about. When you know, I say pastor, you think suit and tie standing behind a pulpit. Okay? You're thinking, you know, the pastor of a church. That's one ministry that a gifted pastor may pursue. Can you think of what else might a pastor teacher do if he's not in a pulpit ministry of a local church? Interaction now. Give me a for instance, Robert.
A prison ministry.
A gifted pastor teacher may be in a prison ministry. Might serve as a chaplain in a jail or a chaplain in a prison. Any number of things. That's right. Yes, sir?
Under the bridge.
Under the bridge. That's right. Pastor Tim, that's right. Yeah, think about how many missionaries are actually pastors, but they serve in local churches overseas, not domestic. All right, Jim Myers is a pastor teacher by gift, but he's in a missionary ministry. Absolutely. I mean, and so you start to see we've already discussed, you know, a dozen permutations just based on this. Gifts, the tandem of gifts and ministries. And then we're going to add effects, and we just took it to a third dimension, okay? And we just created an exponential division of varieties within the various activities. All right. Evangelist, okay? Think of what kind of ministries might an evangelist be. And are all evangelists the same? Does every evangelist pitch a tent? And do tent revivals, goes to a town. And, I mean, what if you hate tents? You know, does that mean you can't be an evangelist? You know, so think about the different ministries that an evangelist could be a part of. And they're not always going to be a Billy Graham style or a Billy Sunday style or think of a different evangelist. Can you think of some famous evangelists? All right, what kind of ministries have they had? And is every evangelist ministry going to be identical? No, of course not. And so there's going to be varieties there as well. All right? So give me a for instance. What might an evangelist ministry look like? Child evangelism. There you go. Yeah. Making scripture memory songs. Verses there. Village ministries, okay. Yeah, very much. An evangelist may find himself on a missionary basis. Now, wait a minute. I thought you said the pastor-teacher gift could be involved in a missionary ministry. You're telling me now that evangelists also can be in a missionary ministry? Okay. Yeah. The thing is, there's so much overlap between these that you can find the varieties of gifts all involved in the same ministry or varieties of ministries all with the same gift. Okay. What about, you talk about chaplains. What if the chaplain's not a pastor? What if the chaplain's an evangelist? Would there be a role for an evangelist as a prison chaplain or it doesn't have to be a prison chaplain. What about a police chaplain? A fire chaplain. Police departments have chaplains. Fire departments have chaplains. Hospitals have chaplains. Why don't hospitals have chaplains? Well, it could be a comforting ministry too, right? If you have a gifted comforter, the paraclete, who's a comforter, an exhorter, an encourager, they could be in a chaplain ministry. And so you start to see how these aspects work. What about what are some of the ministries we have here in the church? Is the pulpit ministry of the pastor, is that the only ministry in this church? What other ministries happen in this church? Yeah, Sunday school teachers. Okay, so there's a children's ministry in the church. And so if I ask Pat Pearson to poll all the Sunday school teachers, how many different gifts is he going to find? Are they all teachers by gift? Maybe none of them. Well, maybe some of them are. Maybe none of them are. You don't have to have the gift of teacher to teach children. Okay? Technically, you don't have to have the gift of teacher to teach adults. Do you have to have the gift of evangelist to give the gospel? Do you have to have the gift of giving to give? Okay? Do you have to have the gift of pastor teacher in order to shepherd? If you're not an encourager by gift, does that mean you can never encourage anybody? Okay. So, as we explore these things, and here's the thing. Part of when a gift will come alive, it'll happen in ministry. And it'll maybe be an aspect of hindsight when you look back and you see an operational gift that you weren't paying attention to before. But with hindsight, you start to see the operation. Sometimes a gift will operate when you're trying to do something else. You spend years trying to be a pastor and you realize, man, I'm an exhorter instead of a pastor. Okay? Or you spend years trying to be an evangelist and you find out you're a pastor. Or what have you. Okay? And so part of what we do in ministry workshop, not only do we give the information, but we also try to encourage and steer and shape direction and get people involved in realms of service. Okay, so we have a Sunday school teacher's ministry, and you can teach children, and that's a realm of service. That's a ministry. We also have nursery. You can change diapers. You can watch kids. That's a ministry. It's a ministry to the children, but it's a ministry to the children's parents that frees them up to come and get doctrine, to learn, to study, to grow, and they know that their children are cared for, and they're safe, and they're protected, and for an hour they have a freedom away from the children, and they can study and learn and grow, and you're providing a blessing to the other adults of the local church. What other ministries do we have? Treasurer. Yeah, we've got deacon ministries, all sorts of deacon ministries. Administrative things. Those are realms of service. Those are ministries. You think about the deacons, what gift do you have to be a deacon? That's right, the gift of eternal life. We want you to be saved. We don't let unbelievers be deacons. You know, I've got deacons that are evangelists. I have deacons that are exhorters. I've got deacons that are pastor teachers. You know, B3 is a deacon right now as he's preparing for the office of pastor teacher, but he's training the gift of pastor teacher and he's serving as a deacon. Ralph made me a deacon. I was a deacon for 3 years and I love it. I love the fact that I was a deacon. I think the best officers in the military are the ones that used to be enlisted before they became commissioned officers. And I think that it's useful for every pastor. I won't say that the best pastors in churches are the ones that used to be deacons, but the parallel is clearly there. I think I love my deacons and I appreciate my deacons a whole lot because I used to be one and I know what they're dealing with. Okay? So we have varieties of ministries. And I want to be thinking in these terms. And if you're not involved in any kind of ministry, why not? Where's your exemption? Let me search deeper into these verses and see. You know, there are a variety of ministries, but don't feel like you should be involved in any of them. It doesn't say that. Each one, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So why did he give me a gift? Why did he save me? Why did he call me? Am I not saved unto good works which were prepared beforehand so that I should walk in them? Ephesians 2:10. Okay? And these are the type of things that we want to explore in a class like this. So we've talked about varieties of gifts. Now, you want to start to consider, and I'll bring the list up, biblical list of spiritual gifts. And there's a list in 1 Corinthians 12 early in the chapter, and then another listing in verse 28. So verses 8 through 10 has a list. Verse 28, verses 29 and 30, Romans 12 has a list. Ephesians 4 has a list. 1 Peter 4 has a list. And I just taken all of them and put them on a table and started to delineate them this way. In 1 Peter 4, the list is simple enough because it just breaks it down into categories. Whoever speaks and whoever serves. So that's useful. It's useful in Peter's thinking. It's useful in my thinking. And the New Testament drives it here. So, but we know, as each one has received a special gift, employ it. Use it. Do something with it. Don't just do nothing. Do something. Okay? You've received a gift. You've received a grace thing. Use it. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, for me to not use my gift, how unthinkable is that? For you to not use your gift. And so then it breaks it down into two categories, whoever speaks and whoever serves. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. And whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So it's useful to put them into these two categories, the speaking gifts, the serving gifts. Speaking gifts would include pastor, teacher, evangelist, and exhorter. We've got four speaking gifts. Serving gifts would include the other seven, helps, administration, giving, server minister. That's four. What's that? Hospitality or mercy showing. I prefer, I make hospitality a ministry of mercy showing. We no longer have miracles, no longer have healing, tongues. There is administrations. I colored it red. Oh, leadership. Prohistemi, leadership. Showing mercy, giving, helps, administrations. All right. I colored it red if it was a permanent gift. Colored it black if it was temporary. All right. And the table's not doing well. Let me shrink it down. There we go. So, you're praying over your giftedness. And if you're a woman, you can rule out pastor, teacher. Now you've only got 10 to pray over instead of 11. All right? But praying over these things. And maybe it's useful to break it down into a communicator or server and ask yourself, what has God equipped me to do? What is He empowering for me to do? And but as we seek these things out, let's not fall into a trap of what I want to do or what I think my personality is suited for. Because very frequently, God will choose the things that are not that He might nullify the things that are. And He may take someone who's terrified of public speaking and gift them as a pastor teacher. So don't just think, oh, well, I've got a great singing voice. I must be involved in a singing ministry. That may not be the case. All right? So let's not confuse. And it goes to what we were dealing with last hour on how do I seek the will of God and what we're going to come to next week on what are the steps I pursue in order to determine the will of God. Because using my gift is a facet of the will of God, is it not? God wants me to employ my gift as a manifold steward, you know, as a steward of the manifold grace of God. All right. So we have the two categories there. Let me get back to what we were looking at here. Gifts, ministries, and effects, and we're expected to make use of them. All right? So if it's communication, if it's service, don't think, though, that if you're a communicator that you can never serve, okay? Prideful pastors that aren't willing to lift a hand or do something or serve or help in any way because, well, after all, I'm a communicator, I'm not a server. If you're not willing to serve, then you're disqualified from communicating. How about that? And likewise, too, just because you're a server by gift, don't think that gives you a license to shut your mouth for the rest of your life. There may be plenty of opportunities to speak. Each one of us is supposed to be ready to give an account for the hope that is within us. Each one of us should be ready to speak when called upon, even if not gifted in that capacity. See, we want to be clear on what the gifts are. The gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 7 is a great definition there on what is a spiritual gift. It is the Holy Spirit shining forth. The manifestation of God the Holy Spirit. And that's the clearest thing I can tell you when it comes to a giftedness is where are you observing the power manifest? Where are you observing the power manifest? That's the indication of the giftedness. Because it's a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And you may not be able to see it. That's why it's called Spirit. That's why it's wind. You can't see it, but you know it when it hits you. Wow. Felt that. That was the wind hitting me. Okay? Ooh, I felt that. So when the manifestation of the Spirit, when the Spirit is empowering, and if you want to know the will of God, it's going to be evident. If you're humble before the Lord and His leading, it's going to be evident. If you're asking for wisdom, He's going to give. He's not going to give you a snake when you're asking for a fish. If you want to know His will, if you're asking Him to open your eyes to what the Spirit is empowering, He's going to open your eyes to what the Spirit is empowering. He has to. God's not in the business of giving you a gift and then hiding and not telling you what that gift is when you want to know it and when you want to start using it. Likewise with ministries, varieties of ministries. And we talk about different ministries you can enter into, teaching Sunday school, working in the nursery, ministries in this church and ministries beyond this church. CEF is beyond this church. In the elementary schools, and right now we don't even have an open door for an elementary school. We used to. All right, and maybe the Lord will open a door again, but right now those doors are shut. But if that's something you want to pursue, then ask Him to open that door again. Maybe you've got ministries beyond this place. You know, we ought to be equipping for the work of service, and that's here and beyond. We're not just equipping us for us. We're equipping us for us and the body of Christ globally. So we've got realms of service out there. Grace Notes is a great example of reaching beyond these walls, okay? Or street evangelism or scripture melodies and different things where we're reaching beyond, okay? I've got the pulpit ministry of a local church. And I used to do a prison ministry once a month. Okay, that's a closed door now. Could it open up again? Maybe. Maybe not. Not by me. Hope not. That's right. But if it opens, it opens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Okay. Also, every once a year or once every other year, I fly to Kiev, Ukraine, and I what do I do over there? Goof off. See the sights. Eat the borscht. Yeah. Kiss the bones. No, I don't kiss the bones. I go to Ukraine and I teach in a Bible college there. Why do I do that? It's not my ministry, but I enter into somebody else's ministry. I become a fellow worker, a partaker in somebody else's ministry, in the ministry of Jim and Phyllis Myers and their missionary ministry in Kiev, Ukraine, and the Word of God Bible College, Word of God Bible Church. I get to become a fellow worker in somebody else's ministry. And in a lot of ways, that's a good place to get started. All right, if you're seeking what your ministry or ministries might be, well then get busy in somebody else's ministry. Become a helper in what somebody else is doing. Start supporting. Okay, it's always fun with CEF, by the way, when you don't have to be a teacher, you don't have to stand. You know, just be a helper. Bake the cookies for the week. You know. Help with crafts, help with this. And the next thing you know, I mean, you're so involved in getting excited in what's going on. You see what's doing. Well, I could do that. I could do that. And it's very easy. It's like a gateway drug. You start by just being a helper. And the next thing you know, okay, I shouldn't have said gateway drug. That was a bad illustration. But, you know, you start with this, and then it sucks you into that, and sucks you into that, and sucks you into that. And it's all a good thing. Okay? Because you're pursuing ministry. Now we've got to talk about effects, okay? So, notice too, in this trinity of principles for gifts, ministries, and effects, we've got a trinity of God. We've got the Spirit, we've got the Lord, and I think we've got God the Father there. The same God, that's the Father who works all things in all persons. Why do I think that's the Father in verse 6? Well, because we've already seen the Spirit and the Lord in verse 4 and verse 5, but also because we've got other passages that tell us, like Philippians, that it's the Father who's at work in you, both the will and to do, that's the energeo of the energemata that we have right here, okay? To do is to effect, is to do. So the Holy Spirit gives you your gift. Jesus Christ leads you in your ministry. Giftedness is a Spirit thing. Ministry is a Lord thing. Jesus Christ opens doors and closes doors. That's Revelation 2 and 3. Jesus Christ leads in every ministry. Why? Because he's head of the church. That's why. So if you're yoked to Jesus Christ, then you are being led by Jesus Christ. You are pursuing the ministry that Jesus Christ is leading you into. Jesus Christ directs our ministries. And if you're doing something that Jesus isn't directing, then you're not pursuing ministry. You're pursuing something else and calling it ministry. Because Jesus Christ is the one that leads the ministry. Varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And then varieties of effects, but the same God. God the Father is the one that does the effects. God the Father produces the results. God the Father accomplishes the things that are done. The work things. All right? The work things. So, think about what a work thing might be. For a pastor, my gift is pastor teacher. My ministry is the pulpit ministry of a local church. What are the effects? What does the Father do in this gift and in this ministry? What does God do? He teaches, he reproves, he rebukes, he exhorts, equips the saints. Everything that is done through my gift and through my ministry is the Father who's doing it. It's not me who's doing it. Okay? We want to be clear on this. Also, think about the training ministry. That's a whole separate ministry. Not every pastor teacher has a training ministry. Think what Agramatos is, the training ministry of Austin Bible Church, where we teach Greek, we teach Hebrew, we teach spiritual gifts, we train. Eventually, it leads to, in the case of pastors and evangelists, it leads to ordinations. All right? And so think of those. And so there's a ministry there, and there are effects. You know, I think Pastor Cliff is an effect. Pastor Dan is an effect. And did I do those? No, the Father did those. The Father accomplishes the effects. And a lot of the effects we don't see. A lot of the effects, it's your Father who sees in secret who will repay. A lot of the effects, and this becomes a component of faith on our part, because we have to stay faithful and continue to not grow weary in doing good. And in due time, we will reap. But reaping, we don't always see it in time. We don't always see it. It may be long term. It may be long term. Okay? So we want to be in consideration of those principles as well. Varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So, you know, an evangelist might think of a particular, different effects. It may be the planting of seeds. It may be the reaping of a harvest, leading somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or not leading somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, simply planting seeds or watering seeds that have already been planted. All of those are effects. And take the pressure off, because you're not the one producing those effects. God, the Father, is the one producing those effects. So long as you're pursuing your ministry as you're pursuing Jesus Christ, and so long as it's the Holy Spirit who's working that gift in you. Does that make sense? All right. The Father's the one that produces those effects. All right. And so, each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And this is what we're dealing with here in this. It's the Holy Spirit being manifest, and it's for the common good. It's for the body of Christ. And common good, I think, I remember. It's Sumferon. Okay. It's not Koinonia. I was thinking it was. It's not. It's something different. All right. Sumferon. The common bearing, something that's born, something that's carried. All right. And so now here's the examples, and most of these are temporary gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith. By the way, I believe faith is a permanent gift. That's where I differ. In fact, if you get yourself John MacArthur or some of these other authors that have works on spiritual gifts, they break it down 10 and 10. 10 permanent, 10 temporary, and they put faith in the temporary column. George Meisinger puts faith in the temporary column, puts faith in with miracles and tongues and healings and things of that nature. But I believe faith abides. abide these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. I believe faith abides. And the working by faith, we're commanded to walk by faith. And of all the temporary gifts, or the ones that are thought of me as being temporary, faith is the only one that I can't prove with a verse. Okay? In other words, I can show a verse that proves that apostles are gone. I can show a verse that proves that tongues will cease. I can show a verse that says that prophecy will be done away. I can find a passage and I can point to it and I can determine nine that no longer function today and why they no longer function today. But I cannot find a verse that says that faith was a temporary gift in the first century for the foundation of the church. All right? And because I can't find a verse that ends it, and I see throughout all of church history, I see many acts of faith that are clearly gifted acts of faith in tons of different ways. I think George Mueller was gifted by faith. He had a gift of faith beyond anything. And that's what these gifts are. It's the provision of the Holy Spirit above and beyond the degree that any other Christian exhibits in that empowerment. Any believer can give, but the believers with the gift of giving are empowered by the Holy Spirit to a degree above and beyond. Any believer can shepherd, but the gifted pastor teachers can have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit above and beyond every other pastor or every other believer in the church. Okay? All right. Well, that went faster than I thought I was going to go. Any questions on that? Do you know what your gift is? Did you used to know what your gift is and now you're not so sure? Okay, that's fair. That's perfectly fair. Okay. Do you have a suspicion of what your gift might be, but you don't want to raise your hand yet to tell me? Raise your hand and tell me you don't want to raise your hand yet. That's fine. This is how we're praying for one another. This is how we lift up one another. We want these folks to know this. If to me, the conviction of the gift and calling is important. All right. Others might minimize and say, well, it doesn't really matter. The gift you have, whether you know what it is or not, it's still going to operate. Yes and no. It will still operate even in your ignorance, but it operates so much better in your awareness as you cooperate, as you intelligently know what you're doing. God wants us to love the Lord our God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our mind, we should be volitionally engaged in our giftedness and in our ministry pursuits. All right. You know, if the works are prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, then we better know what they are. We ought to know what they are. So to me, it's a will of God issue. And if you lack wisdom, go to the God and he will give generously and without reproach. Say, Father, I want to know what my gift is. I don't know what my gift is. I want to know what my gift is. Okay? We could use the Hugh Crowder method. Hugh Crowder says, well, we'll just start checking them off one by one. We're going to start with the gift of giving. So he says, just write a big check. Give a whole bunch of money here to the church, and if it hurts, well then, okay, anyway, he's just doing that tongue-in-cheek, of course, and just all in good fun, all right. But what's the passage in Timothy? Not to neglect the spiritual gift that is within you, but to stir it up, right? Where is that? 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy? We got time tonight. Let's find it. Do not neglect. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. All right? You can neglect a gift. Think about it. Think about how a gift needs to be stirred up. Like the dying embers of a campfire. Stir it up. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. So don't neglect the gift. That's one reference. I think there's a second one, too, that comes after that. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1. Kindle afresh the gift that is within you. Right? Where's the verse that says kindle? 2 Timothy 1:6. You see why I'm becoming a Bible cripple? It is far too easy. Instead of remembering where the verse is, you can just find kindle, and there it is. All right. Kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. And the imagery here is like stirring up ana zopurine, ana for again, zoe for life, and pur for fire. Right? So you got a compound term here, ana zoe parao, where you are again bringing to life a fire. So, you know, it's like the campfire that's just now little coals, and you stir it up, and you breathe, and you know, you're kindling it afresh, like a kindling on a fire. And if your gift has grown cold through neglect, through disuse, well, stir it back up again. Kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That's twice now that Timothy's giftedness was connected to Paul's hands, and that's a very apostolic event. That's not the case today. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody and give them a gift, all right? In the permanent stage of the church age, you receive your gift at the moment of salvation. But for those in the first century that were saved as Old Testament believers, they received their gift when they crossed into the church age. When they matriculated from being an Old Testament believer to a New Testament believer, and more often than not, that happened through the laying on of hands. An apostle came along to bring them into the church age. And in the laying on of hands, they received the Holy Spirit, they received the spiritual gift, and I think the prophetic utterance was then given that told the apostle and told the other prophets in the church, hey, this 10-year-old kid you just laid hands on, he's a pastor teacher. Okay, that's how they were able to start spotting these gifts before Ephesians got written, or 1 Timothy, or other books. I mean, think about it. How did they learn what those gifts were until the New Testament was written? So these things became important as well. And so in a class like tonight, I'm going to be able to pray for our gifted evangelists. Doug's an evangelist. Fallon's an evangelist. I want to pray for our gifted exhorters. Encourager, comforters. Robert's an exhorter. Radley's an exhorter. Al Dowdy has confessed his conviction as to being an exhorter, comforter. All right. And so there's three right there. All right. Others, server, minister in capacity there. Deb Dowdy is considering that and praying over that as her giftedness as a server minister. Others have identified their gift as giving. Others have identified their gift as helps. Okay? And I think helps is one that gets, they just, it kind of becomes a default. It kind of becomes a kind of an escape hatch. and I want to magnify it to the point that it's not an escape hatch. You don't have the gift of helps when you've ruled out everything else and say, well, I can't do anything else, so I'll just help you in what you're doing. No. That's not the gift of helps, because helps is a spiritual empowerment that comes alongside and boosts the productivity of other giftedness. See? Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll work our way through the 11 permanent gifts. We'll categorize them for you, not tonight, but in the upcoming classes. Okay? Yes, sir. Microphone, please.
I thought I'd just bring up this point because, you know, I've been in other churches, of course, and they assume that, you know, for instance, you do one of those personality things and you find out what that is. Oh, that must be your spiritual gift. And so maybe for those people on the web, explain them why that. I mean, your talent certainly plays a role in things, but it's not the spiritual gift. But all that is looking at your talents and saying that is your gift.
Right. I think it's a mistake to confuse natural human talents with Holy Spirit-empowered giftedness. First of all, it's an insult to the Holy Spirit. You know, I suspect that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than any human talent. So let's not diminish giftedness to an awareness of human talents. Likewise, in terms of personalities, because there are so many different personalities and the varieties of personalities that in some cases, too, I think we steer people in different directions. And part of it, too, is somebody loves the Lord, they want to serve, they've got a zeal, and all too quickly it's like, well, you must be in the ministry. You know, look how much you love the Lord, look how much you study the Bible, man, you're going to be a pastor someday. And so there's pressure, and well, I don't know what else to do, so he goes to seminary and he goes to ministry and he has a miserable time with it because he's not a gifted pastor teacher. And so that's why I enjoy the fact that in our training ministry, we encourage every consideration of every gift, and we don't view it as a failure. We don't kick you out of the seminary if we find out later that you're not a pastor. Radley moved down here from Washington State to be a pastor, and he's not a pastor, not by gift and not by ministry. The Lord's never opened that up for him, but he's finding where the empowerment does happen is in the one-on-one. It's in the coming alongside instead of standing in front. And so we have that consideration as well. I'd be very reluctant to look at personalities.
Yeah, it's done a lot.
Or the website, you know, whatismyspiritualgift.com, and you know, yeah, I don't go there. All right, microphone up here, please.
One of the things I've found over the years is that, especially musicians. Mm-hmm. They like to play the guitar, or they like to play the drums, and when they get saved, they automatically assume that that's their gift, and they're going to music ministry.
Uh-huh.
And I had beating my head against the wall telling some of these people, God doesn't use your strengths very often.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't acknowledge my gift, I'd be hiding in my room because I'm an introvert. I don't like being around people.
Oh, me
but,
too.
But God said, get out. Speaking. And I finally admitted it and agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people want to go where they're comfortable. God doesn't want us to be comfortable. He wants us to be serviceable.
Amen. No, I agree. Yeah, that's the easy one is with music. And if they got a talent for it, or they got a training for it, they got an appreciation for it. You know, I mean, so find a hobby you like, and then say, "Hey, I can plug that into the church," and there, you know, there I have it. You know, well, that may not be. You know, and so if you know, there's a ministry pursuit that matches your interest, marvelous. But that's not the same as giftedness, and there too, let's not blend ministry with giftedness in those things, because where's the there's no spiritual gift of music. Of all the 11 permanent spiritual gifts, none of them are music. Okay, but music is a ministry in a variety of different ways, and it can be a ministry. It can be used to serve others, but how does it serve? What does it do as it serves? You know, in a lot of cases, it can be evangelistic. So maybe you have an evangelism gift as you're pursuing a music ministry. You know, Schaefer, yeah, Lewis Berry Schaefer and his wife. You know, he didn't, believe it or not, Lewis Berry Schaefer was not born the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, okay? And that was not his first ministry, okay? There are other ministries along the way. He started off as an evangelist, and he started off as a musician, and he and his wife led the music for C.I. Schofield. So here's C.I. Schofield, who's traveling the country, and he's teaching, he's doing conference ministry, he's pastoring, he's teaching, he's evangelizing. Schofield did all kinds of ministries in the pursuit of his giftedness, and he needed a music minister, because everybody has a music minister, right? Moody had Sankey, and everybody's, you know, and so he needed a music guy, and he found Lewis Berry Schaefer and Mrs. Schaefer, what was her name? Anyway, the Schaefers. And so they started off doing music, and then they started evangelizing, and then they started Bible teaching, and then they, you know, pastored a church and established a seminary, and there you go. And Dallas Seminary was originally a local church training ministry. Did you know that? It was originally a local church training ministry that then expanded and departed from the confines of the local church and established itself as its own institution. But yeah. So that's good. We'll pick up on this next week. I want us to be praying for one another. And if you don't know what your gift is, or you thought you used to know and now you're thinking about something else, that's fine. That is absolutely fine. I think it's a part of this kindling afresh. We're going to stir it up and see what happens. Okay? And it's not a failure when you identify what it's not, because then you just ruled something out and you've got a smaller pool now to consider for what it could be or what it is. Why does it keep doing that? All right. I'm going to close in prayer, and I think this is a good start. We've had a season where we've been off, but I want to resume this. I want to keep PMW through the rest of this year and just keep it going, because I want to keep challenging one another in pursuing our gifts, in pursuing our ministries, in pursuing our effects. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness. I pray that you continue to guide and direct our discussions, the scriptures that we look at, the encouragement that we draw, and the prayers that we're able to offer one to another. And Father, I do pray for Dan and his continued candidating in Corpus Christi. I want to thank you for opening that door and pray for your will to be known and for your will to be done. I want to thank you for Pastor Cliff. I want to thank you for Lost Pines Bible Church. I want to thank you, Father, too, for LaRosa Johnson. I want to thank you for Robert Rice. I want to thank you for other men that trained and they've departed, and you're using them, Father, in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places. And for George Dykeman and where you've taken him and how you're using him, and a lot of other men that and women, Father, that have received a portion or some or all or a lot of their training here, and they've gone elsewhere and received other training in other places. Father, it's a privilege to be used by you in this capacity, and I thank you for what you've done here at Austin Bible Church. I thank you and I praise you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.